So I've been out for a couple weeks. It's a pleasure to see you. Oh my gosh, I was thinking about 1 Timothy 5:16. Be joyful always. Pray continuously. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. I can't tell you how much I pray, and every prayer I think about this group, how blessed I am. So it's always good to be back. Father, we come to you this morning, Lord. We give you the glory, 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 glory. Thank you for this opportunity to be together. Thank you for this church, this men, this fellowship that's so important. These are your loyal servants, Lord. Give us the strength to seek you first, to lead a path of righteousness. Be with our speaker this morning that he may be a conduit to give us the weapons we need to go out into this world, our armor. Oh, such a desperate world. This is a bastion in these walls. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this opportunity. We ask this in your name. Amen. What a blessing to gather here this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. We've got a treat this morning. Doc's pastor is in the house. Why don't you introduce Brent to us?
So our speaker today is Brent Lewis. He's the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Boulder Valley. And it's just up on McCaslin. We just actually got a building a little over a year ago. And so we have a permanent location, which was a real blessing. So Brent came all the way out from California. He's a California transplant out here, started a church. And he's the father of three, husband of one. He's only got one wife. And so without further ado, Brent Lewis. Welcome, Brent, please.
Thank you, sir. Praise the Lord.
I'm told I have, 30 minutes? Okay, I'll try and make it under an hour and a half. no, it's kind of reminds me of that story of the pastor who had a small amount of time. He had about 30 minutes himself, and he was preaching, and he gets to the 30-minute point, and he's still going. I mean, it's thunder and lightning, and, you know, the moderator in the very back, he's kind of pointing to his watch. He's like, hey, time, and then 45 minutes go by, and an hour goes by, and finally the moderator, you know, gets his shoe, and he throws it at the speaker. He misses the speaker, but hits the guy in the front row who was asleep, and he said, hit me again, I can still hear him. You know, hopefully that won't be the case this morning, but it's good to be here, and I appreciate the opportunity to share the word with you all. If you have your Bibles, would you please turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And as you're turning to chapter 16, we're going to pray in a moment, but I was thinking, you know, 1 John, and this is just a reference, in chapter 2, he says, verse 12, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his namesake. I write to you, fathers, because you've known him who's from the beginning. I write to you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you've known the Father. I've written to you, fathers, because you've known him who's from the beginning. I've written to you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you've overcome the wicked one. The thing that strikes me about that verse is how it applies to every walk of life, every maturity level that we are, we can be as believers in the Lord. And so I think God has something for us, no matter whether we see ourselves as young men in the Lord, older men, and I hope the Lord speaks to us. So let's pray and ask him to go before us. Lord, thank you for your word, your awesome, powerful, living word. Lord, we do count it a privilege, a blessing, as we get into it, because we know that the same word that you spoke thousands of years ago, you're still speaking it, and the words that we read on this page correspond to that, Lord. That's truth. It's infallible. It's inerrant, and so we trust in that. We ask that you would fill us and help us to receive that word, and not only just hear it, but be doers of the word as well. And so we ask for your blessing on our time, in Jesus' name. Amen. As Ed was mentioning, we have just purchased our building. I don't know if you know this, but this Sunday will actually be a year that we will have officially purchased the building. So the Lord is good. And we as a church, we find that it's important for us to be men of the Word. It's important for us not only just to hear the Word, not only just to be reading, but to be meditating on, memorizing, putting into practice. And so this morning, excuse me, we find that in chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, Paul shares four traits of an effective Christian. And no matter how long we've been with the Lord, we find that from whether we just are starting out or whether we have just, you know, a few years within our lives, God has these traits for us to be effective as we walk with Him. One commentator referred to these four commands as imperatives for a victorious Christian life. Now, we're jumping in chapter 16, but I want to kind of give a little context of where we are. And so in chapter 16, Paul's talking about, excuse me, the collection for other churches, and so he's trying to encourage them to be part of that. In verses 5 through 9, Paul's talking about the opportunities that God has opened up, or it's kind of principles on how to be led by the Holy Spirit, when to see those open doors that God opens in our lives. In chapter 16, verses 10 through 18, we also see Paul talking about his companions. The Bible says that none of us lives to himself and none of us dies to himself. Paul mentions that in Romans 14. And so in chapter 16, verses 10 through 18, we see the importance of companions, serving the Lord with others, of fellowship. Just like what you're doing this morning, that's what you see Paul made his ministry about and his life about. Many times people look at the Apostle Paul and they're like, wow, he was a lone ranger. That's not true. Paul encouraged and served along many. And so as you continue to serve and walk with God, make this a regular part of your walk with Him. Coals burn brighter when we burn together. And then verses 19 through 23, Paul concludes with words on ministry, his love for the Corinthians, and his excitement for Jesus' return. But there's four words that we want to focus on in verse 13 here. The first one is watch. Second phrase is stand fast. The third is be brave. And the fourth, be strong. This is one of the many instances we see Paul kind of give rapid encouragements found in many of his letters. It's in Romans 16, 2 Corinthians 13, Philippians 4, 1 Thessalonians 5. These are they're things that if we don't pay attention, it's easy for them to kind of slip by, and we go, oh, what was that? I didn't hear that. It's kind of like years ago, we had a young adults married couples home Bible study. I would teach at my house in California, and I remember there's this one question. We had husbands and wives kind of go off to different parts of the room, and I said, does your spouse ever accuse you of not paying attention to what they say? So we went to the wives, and then we went to the husbands, and I went around, and each husband kind of gave their answer. And there was this one husband just kind of staring off into the distance. And I said, Brian, does your wife ever accuse you of not paying attention to what she says? And Brian says, huh, what? I said, well, I think we have our answer, gentlemen, you know. And so sometimes that can be the way with a word. As we get into it, we can gloss over things and not really understand the importance that they have for us. But the first trait we see here is one simple command. It's just watch. Watch is something that we do, but it's distinct from look. It's like the distinction between hearing and listening. We all look. I'm looking at, you know, many men in here this morning. But the question is, are we watching as we look? What happens as you look around? Kind of, I'm trying to remember the author of Sherlock Holmes on the tip of my tongue. Arthur Conan Doyle, correct. He writes of Sherlock Holmes, you know, as he's talking to Watson, well, you see, but you do not observe. And I think the same thing can be true of many of us in the Christian life. We see, but do we actually watch? Years ago, I used to work for a grocery store, and some of my shifts required that I would start work from 4 a.m. to 8 a.m. or later on. And I'd wake up at 3 a.m., and there was, let me tell you, I didn't naturally wake up all of a sudden at 3 a.m., you know? That's not something that happened for me. I mean, I'm an early riser, but not 3 a.m. for crying out loud. So this is before Starbucks came around, so I would be popping caffeine pills in. And let me tell you, by the time I got to work, I was definitely watching, and I was alert. Here's my question. Paul's writing to a church that had been divided, and they didn't realize it. There was a man who was sleeping with his father's wife, his stepmom, and they were thinking they were being gracious. So they weren't watching spiritually. They weren't watching morally. And so my question is, why is Paul selecting this word? Well, I think it has a lot of relevance for us today. One, because Jesus is coming back for his church soon, and he wants as many of the people in this world to know him and be ready for his appearing. Two, because the implication that we're living in times that are dangerous. I don't know about you, but I see things changing at such a rapid pace in our world and in our culture now than ever before. I'm not just talking about technology. I mean, I remember certainly the day when, you know, you would buy something and it would last seemingly like a lifetime. You know, tools are like that. I just saw an article headline in the Wall Street Journal saying major appliances no longer are being replaced much quicker than ever before. And I'm like, why, you know? But morally and spiritually, things are changing at such a rapid pace. We're in a time where Isaiah's words in chapter 5, where he says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." Gentlemen, we need to be watching. We need to be aware. Otherwise, we're going to be like that frog in the kettle that he gets in when everything's kind of lukewarm, but you can turn up the heat, and before the frog knows it, he's not going to jump out because it comes up to a boil. And may God help us to be watchful so that we don't get boiled and miss out on what God's trying to show us. The third reason why I think Paul uses the word watch is because the devil is real. And Jesus said the thief doesn't come except to steal and kill and destroy in John chapter 10. So we have to be watching for that. And lastly, and I find this so insidious in our lives, but it's very real, it's how incredibly pervasive apathy can be in our lives as well. I'm 52 years old, and I think, man, there are things where I recognize it's easy just to slide into comfort. Fast in the faith. So the first trait was to be watchful during our time. The second trait is to have convictions in our time, no matter what. A word that means to stand firm in contrast to vacillating, to maintain, to continue, not to veer off to the right or to the left. It has the implication of a person standing in concrete. I don't know if you've ever watched any old mobster movies, but you know, when the bad guy or when the mob catches the guy, they're like, "We're gonna give him some concrete shoes." You know, they give him that attitude. And I love that. Well, that's your I've lived in a few neighborhoods like that. And, you know, that's the mindset that God says in a positive sense for you and I. Stand firm. Here's the thing. Many times we'll stand firm, but it's not always in the faith. As a matter of fact, what we stand firm is in could also be called stubbornness. Oh, I can stand firm in a lot of things. As a matter of fact, I woke up this morning and I have my coffee machine or my espresso machine, and there's this little area I've carved out on the sink next to it. And I've told the whole family, don't disturb that. Keep that area open. Keep it dry. And I get up this morning, and there's a blender in that spot, and there's some cups. And I'm like, doggone it. Didn't I say that I wanted this area open? I'm not standing firm in the faith. I'm standing firm in what I wanted. But man, the value of being able to stand firm in the faith, as Jude 3 says, which was once for all entrusted to the saints. Are you standing firm today in what God has given you in His Word? Or are you allowing yourself to kind of be swayed by what this world is telling you is now right or wrong or truth or error? See, that's a valuable thing, to have convictions. That's what he's essentially saying. Stand your ground in the faith of Jesus Christ. See, in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 7, here's a reference to Jesus. It says, "For the Lord God will help me." This is a messianic prophecy. "Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I've set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed." A flint was a hard black or brown rock. It was used as the tip of a spear for a weapon. In other words, we're carving the way. You know, we're the people that are standing fast in the faith. If you're that kind of man in the Lord, God's going to use you to open new ground. God wants to use you as you, if you will, as a trailblazer, as the tip of the spear for what He wants to do. And I believe that God is calling us to do that as a church as well over at Calvary Boulder Valley. For many years I've been involved prior to moving out here, and it's been 13 years we've been out here now. But at Calvary Downey, we would have outreaches at our local college stadium, and we would share the gospel. We would have Greg Glory or other evangelists come out, and you'd see hundreds of people coming to the Lord. One of the things that impressed me, that one of the first times I came here, was the rich tradition that many of you have in being involved in past events and outreach with the Promise Keepers. I was so encouraged and honored to be able to share with you, knowing that you have been used as that tip of the spear. I believe that God wants to do that again in this area. And it's part of my desire, part of what God has, I believe, placed on our hearts to be able to start doing that again. In 2004, we were part of the Billy Graham Greater Los Angeles Crusade. And so I've been part of organizing events for sharing the gospel. And I would encourage you to please pray for us, because we'd love to see the Lord do something like that again in this area and see what the Lord has in store. And so God wants to use us to stand fast in not a faith, but in the faith. And that's a clear distinction. Martin Luther, many years ago, caused a ripple effect in Wittenberg, Germany. On October 31st, 1517, when the bang, bang, bang was heard on the church door. Now, there were all sorts of notices or announcements that were nailed to the church door. So many people didn't think that it was very unusual, except there was this monk, and there was quite a long list, 95 things to be exact, of what he thought needed to be addressed. And so he began a fire, and 3 years later, being excommunicated by the Catholic Church, he stood on trial at the Diet of Worms, being urged to recant his words of challenge. And by recanting, he would have been able to save himself. But instead, he said the now famous words, "My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Thus I cannot and will not recant, because acting against one's conscience is neither safe nor stand. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me." May God help us to stand in the faith with one another. The first trait of an effective Christian is one who is watching. The second trait is one who is standing fast in the faith. The third trait of an effective Christian is one who is courageous and brave. And I love this one where he says, "Be brave." The King James Version, if you have it, it says, "Quit you like men." Man, King Jimmy had a way of putting it, huh? That group, I love that. Or another way of saying it is literally, "Be manly." That's something we don't always find in our churches today, is it? Man up. To exhibit courage in the face of danger. Another way of saying it is not to be passive when it comes to spiritual things. Not to be afraid, not to back down. Not to be obnoxiously aggressive in that sense, but at the same time, you can be firm but be gentle. We can be the men that God has called us to be. The church, I believe, many times we need to man up. And if you'll forgive me for being so blunt, I think sometimes we need to stop whining and complaining about some of the things that are happening to us and respond in faith the way God has called us to. We don't like sometimes the way things are going in life. We shouldn't complain. We should look to God and do what He says in His Word, that no matter what happens, we're going to follow His lead in what He has to say. I love, Psalm 15. It says, who shall abide in your tabernacle, Lord? Who will dwell in your holy hill? He swears to his own hurt and does not change. He keeps his word. He says, no matter what, he has the courage to be a man and say, this is what I said, and this is what I'm going to stay by, no matter what the consequences are. Jeremiah complained to God, and he said, you know, Lord, look at what's going on. The nation is falling away from you. And he was burned out, and he was frustrated. He was the weeping prophet, right? He thought God would encourage him. But in Jeremiah chapter 12, verses 1 through 4, he complained. And in verse 5, God responds to him in a way Jeremiah, I don't think, expected. God said to Jeremiah in verse 5 of Jeremiah 12, if you've run with the footmen and they've wearied you, then how can you contend with the horses? And if in the land of peace in which you trusted they wearied you, how are you going to do in the floodplain of the Jordan? Translation, hey, if you've just had a difficult time when things are easy, how are you going to do when the going gets tough? Amen? Sometimes God is telling us, hey, instead of complaining about having a lighter load, maybe ask me for a stronger back. I love the story of bravery that I've heard about the Marine who was one of the most celebrated Marines in their history. His name was Chesty Puller. And when they were cut off behind enemy lines, the Army had written them off because they were surrounded by 363,000 Marines, enemy soldiers. And so command is calling in for an update in the middle of the battle. And so Chesty Puller radios back saying, hey, they're in front of us. They're behind us. We're flanked on both sides by an enemy that outnumbers us 29-1. And then there was silence. And then he radioed back and says, they can't get away from us now. I love that. That's a great attitude. I think God needs to give us the courage of Chesty Puller, don't you? In his book, A Man to Match the Mountain, David Roper said, no amount of wild man meetings, sweat lodge, powwows, or scrum-like huggings will ever make us into real men. That is a job for God. And if you find this morning maybe you're lacking that courage, then ask the Lord to give you that heart to have that courage in spite of the resistance. And you're going to find when you do that, resistance will come. Opportunities to choose fear or courage will come. But remember this, in Timothy 1:6, the Bible tells us, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. And if you find yourself in those moments of fear saying, I don't know, Lord, if I can do this, it's verse 7, 2 Timothy 1:7, God will give that to you. So, the third trait of an effective Christian is one who's courageous and brave. Now the fourth trait is where we find the source of our strength. Go back with me to verse 13. He says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, and be strong. Again, that word in the Greek is not just to be strong, it's to become strong or to be made strong. Now it may sound like I'm splitting hairs, but I'm really not. And I love the fact that the Greek language is very expressive in that. It's very detailed. So why do I bring this up? Because what the difference between being strong the way we think about it in our Western culture and to be made strong, there's a world of difference. One, we rely on our own strength. American individualism, we like to say. pulling myself up by my bootstraps. When the, you know, we make things happen is what we like to say. But that's not the sentiment that God is communicating. He's saying, present yourself to God and He will make you strong. By coming here, God is strengthening us. He's strengthening our faith. You didn't go, well, I gotta suck it up and go to Bible study now. No, no, no. You said, I'm coming in. How you came in this morning and how you go out are going to be completely different because of the Word of God. You're sowing to the Spirit in Galatians chapter 6. And so from the Spirit, you're reaping everlasting life. We don't have the strength that we need. That's the uniqueness about our strength. And here's the great thing. No matter how young, how old, where we are spiritually, our strength can be in the Lord. And we can be very strong in the Lord. Now, I've started... You got to pray for me, man, because I go back and forth when it comes to my workout routine, you know? I'm like, some days I'm like, oh, yes, I'm on it. And then other times I'm like, let me just have some more coffee. That'll make up for it, you know? And that doesn't. But then as time goes by, I get weaker and weaker, and I find, why can't I get the cap off of this thing, you know? Don't let the wife know, you know, I got to kind of show up. But what happens is, as I'm in the Word, exercise profits a little bit, but godliness is profitable for all things. Do you need strength this morning? Strength in spiritual things? Hey, you're doing a great thing just by being here with other men, but don't let it end here. Let that strength reverberate into the other areas of your lives, in your marriages, with your families, with your grandchildren, your children. Say, look, kids, this is what needs to happen. Sometimes they may want to relegate us as though, you know, the ideas are outdated or old-fashioned, as if something that is eternally true could ever lose its potency. That's not the case. Neither will your strength be if it's in the Lord. Years ago, J. Wilbur Chapman, who was a famous evangelist in his day, had a chance to speak with William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army. William Booth was on his deathbed, and he was down to the last few hours of his life. And so he asked him if he would disclose the secret of his success. He hesitated for a moment. Then Dr. Chapman said, I saw tears come into his eyes and fall down his cheeks. And he said, I'll tell you the secret. God has had all there was of me. There have been men with greater brains than I, men with greater opportunities, but from the day that I got to the poor of London on my heart and a vision of what Jesus Christ could do with the poor of London, I made up my mind that God would have all of William Booth there was. And if there's anything of power in the Salvation Army today, it's because God has all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life. And Dr. Chapman said he went away from that meeting with General Booth knowing that the greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. I got to tell you, that's something that I struggle with at times. Oh, it's easy to go through the motions, you know. We can sing the songs. And I got to tell you, I was blessed. Thank you, Ed, for worship this morning. I was refreshed. I was encouraged. Because why? Those are words that are written according to God's truth. They stand the test of time. By taking them in, our strength comes from the Lord. And this morning, if you find that you're lacking in watching, in standing fast in the faith, in being brave or strong, allow the Lord to strengthen you once again, because that strength will only happen as we submit our weakness to Him. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about the thorn in his flesh. And he said, concerning this thing, I pleaded three times with the Lord. But he said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word today. Thank you for helping us to not only hear of these traits of what it means to be an effective believer. Lord, help us not just to be hearers, Help us to be doers.
Hallelujah.
Let our strength to be found in you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise you,
Amen.
Jesus.
Thank you, brothers. God bless you.
Amen. Amen.